This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Welcome to Kylie Says It's About to Get Real. I chose the name of this podcast after most of my friends would say, "Shit Kylie says," after I'd share a deep thought or perspective on something that always ended in more conversations. I started this podcast out of a period of spiritual curiosity that caused me to do deep dives into manifestation, meditation, and mindset and perception work that had me exploring things like angel numbers, life path numbers, human design, mediumship, Akashic records researching, and more, all while overcoming a traumatic eating disorder and trying to thrive as a postpartum mom of two while building my corporate career. This show is a mix of guest interviews and my take on life, love, friendship, and all of the topics that I find interesting. Here, we talk to experts, authors, entrepreneurs, and more. If you're looking for a show to get you out of your rut, you found it. Welcome to Kylie Says. I'm your host, Kylie, and I promise to entertain you, give it to you straight, be real with you, and have some fun along the way. Hello and welcome back to the show. I have officially survived 2 weeks of solo parenting, doing drop-offs, pickups, cleaning, my actual full-time corporate job, all of the things, paying bills, taking out the trash, cooking the meals, putting the dishes away for that long. I'm honestly so proud of myself and so proud of the fact that I had a mental breakdown when I was sick a few weeks ago so that I didn't need to have one now, because I would have otherwise. But I was incredibly proud of how I handled myself over the past few weeks. And one thing that I find when I am solo parenting, especially for a long period of time, is that some of the things that maybe used to bother me or do bother me a lot when there's both of us here tend to bother me less because I have more freedom to, I guess I almost feel like when I'm home alone with the kids, I know for a fact that I am the last line of defense. So if I'm stressed, if I'm overworked or whatever, it doesn't matter because I have to show up for my kids and I have to show up for myself and for work and all of those things. So I have to be in a place where I feel grounded and I feel tethered in the reality that is I can handle whatever situation arises for me. And when I do that, I find that I feel like a better person at the end of the night, because when I structure my day against a mindset where I am already proud of myself simply for showing up, and I can easily switch my own internal thought process. If I find myself feeling grumpy or being incredibly reactive, I'll explain, "I'm feeling this way because this," to my kids, so that I can frame a state of reference for them. "I'm feeling overwhelmed because of all of the things that we had to do this morning to get ready for school, and I still have a full day of work ahead. The best part of my day will be when I can pick you guys up and hang with you after and do nothing." And I try to give a frame of context for them, because for kids, context is everything. They don't understand why you're upset. Maybe it was because they didn't get their shoe on fast enough. Maybe because they didn't get downstairs in time. You had to call them 3 times. They don't totally understand. So when I'm feeling like I'm getting into a place where I am frustrated, where I am overwhelmed, where I am mad and think I might say something to the kids or snap at them where they'll start crying or feeling confused why I'm acting that way, I want them to have some sort of a frame of reference because I have a strong sense of identity and who I want to be and how I want to talk to my kids, my family, etc. And when I veer from that, I immediately feel shame because I know that I didn't show up in the best way that I could. And it just started getting me thinking about this sense that especially in corporate America, we are completely centered around performance culture. And we are completely centered around the more you know, the more valuable you become. And it doesn't matter necessarily how you know those things, but if you can operate quickly, you can do your job, other people's job, and tap in and out whenever because you're an expert of all trades, then you immediately become more valuable. And it just got me thinking about this tension where it's like we were trained to chase expertise. That's what we've been trained to do, especially in corporate America and especially as women. But I feel like now what people are craving more than ever is identity. And I read an incredible post on Substack that was talking about the best creators for 2026 are going to be the ones that are focused on helping people better identify their own identity. How do they make shifts to the person that they are to help them accomplish a goal? And it doesn't mean that you're selling them frameworks. It doesn't mean that you're selling them a meal plan. It means that you are actually helping them shape their own internal narrative and their own internal identity enough where making those decisions and making small habits that map towards that overall goal, whatever it is that they want to accomplish, will feel possible because they have the tools mentally to be able to activate upon them. And that just got me thinking about so many other things, about how for me, I have been deeply tied to titles that I have at work and that has truly shaped my identity. In my previous role, I was a senior vice president on the verge of becoming an executive vice president. In my mid-30s, that seemed like such a huge accomplishment. And for someone who never felt like I was getting great titles in terms of grades when I was growing up because I didn't apply myself because I was afraid I wouldn't be smart. And so I just didn't try until I got to college. It really affected how I held on to titles, and titles became incredibly important to me, so much so that I wanted so bad to get out of the lower titles that I did anything that I could to get to one of those higher titles because I didn't like the work. I didn't like being that title, and I didn't like the fact that it immediately meant that I knew less or was less smart, important, strategic, whatever, that I immediately held less value. And so I continued to strive to get titles that to me felt like they mirrored more of what people viewed that person to be. And those things like corporate life and those titles and those promotions often tell you what to do, but not who to be, not how to be. You'll build a plan or you'll learn a role and it will tell you these are the skills that are successful. These are the attitudes that are successful. These are the personalities or whatever. That's telling you if you similarly map to these things I'm telling you are successful, you will also likely be successful. And especially in corporate America, they don't leave very much room for going out of the box. And if you are someone who is out of the box, you'll have to be incredibly mindful about how you bring that energy and intention into the workplace, because with certain people, it will work, and with others who are very resistant to allowing that to happen when they're very much sort of stuck in this is how the process should work, this is how I was brought up, this is how I think it's best done, you'll have tension there, which I found in the workplace myself. And now we're in this era where all of those skills that so many people spent so much time earning, many of them are being threatened by AI. And I work in AI, I work in technology, so I cover platform architecture, data quality, data governance, enterprise cloud, etc., SaaS, software as a service, all of those things I get to work around and help build narratives around every single day. And I love it because it is incredibly interesting. It is cutting edge. It is overwhelming and at times theoretical, but it also is so thought-provoking. And it's a different muscle that I get so happy to get to utilize on a daily basis. I don't so much like the doing of keeping track of all of these things as much as I like the ideating. That's something that I feel like from my corporate life has really helped shape a curiosity deep and innately within me as a human being outside of work that has got me so interested in things like spirituality, human design, and just generally becoming the person that I know that I'm meant to be and following the path that I'm meant to follow and bringing more purpose into my life. That curiosity, part of it came from being on maternity leave and being so hungry to get back into the workplace and just better understand what's happening in the world, having to do research, framing a narrative, building a release where I'm thinking through, like, what is the story I want to tell? And everything for me comes back to the story. And if I think about the fact that for most people in corporate life,
you're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
They're rewarded for knowing more. They know how to build this framework. They know how to work towards KPIs. They know this. They know all the acronyms. They know all the jargon. But this, like, deeper longing, especially among people that are high performing and self-aware like myself, is really for alignment. Feeling like who they are at work matches who they are outside of it. And some people will say you don't bring yourself to work, but I don't think that that's possible today and age. I think when we went through COVID, we went through this period where people were having to look dead ass in the mirror and ask themselves, who am I? What am I doing here? Because with so much time indoors where you're literally not allowed to go outside and you have a lot of time to think because everything is trying to be figured out, you have a lot of time to identify or at least think through, was the way that I was doing things really the best way for what I should be doing? And I still just really feel like for the people that are stuck in their ways at work, they're likely stuck in their ways outside of work. And where that can become dangerous is when you get stuck in this place of complacency, always assuming that you know enough, you've done enough. Other people now can help you do the things that you don't like doing because they seem to me, like I had said, mundane. But you can't replace curiosity, regardless of what sort of AI model you introduce. You can't replace identity. Everyone can talk to you. AI can talk to you. It can tell you everything that you want to hear. But at the end of the day, being able to understand the fact that as we look to this next generation of leaders, of politicians, of business people, of creators, I don't know that we'll necessarily be looking for the ones that are talking the loudest. That isn't going to get you anywhere anymore. I mean, look how loud some of the people that have fallen over the past few years have been in the past, which is why they ended up falling, and some that we eventually hope will. But I feel like we're entering this period where the next wave of leaders that I deeply align with and believe are going to be the ones who are modeling the best authenticity and alignment, and they will be the ones teaching what that means. And not in a be-all. What did I say? Not in a be-all? What I mean by that is that this is not a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. Your authenticity and somebody else's might look completely different, but being in alignment with yourself enough is getting to a place where understanding that that person's authenticity might piss you off and to you might seem completely inauthentic will need to be something that you move on from and quickly. because you will not ever be able to control what anyone else feels authentic to them. And that is a little bit frustrating, especially if you come from a place of wanting to truly feel like the world is just that, oh, this person is acting in this way because of this. People like me that truly feel like everything comes with this justice system, this integrity system that we should be trying to uphold, it makes it very difficult when you see people that you feel like are A, fake, they're performative, they're manipulative, but somehow they are getting ahead consistently and consistently and consistently. There's something about that that feels inauthentic, and you won't be able to teach those people anything. And those people might not be the loudest either, but those people will be the ones that will absolutely not be curious about where they can grow. They'll be curious about where they can grow from a title perspective, and they won't care about how they get there. But those aren't the people that we're going to be looking towards. And I keep just thinking about this idea of, I want to find like what the truth is for me, because I often am at a place where I wonder, why am I even spending so much time doing this? Why am I sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, not getting outside or moving my body, in back-to-back virtual calls, then chatting all day and chasing one immediacy after another, when I could be spending all that time building something that truly means something to me? And then I remember, oh, of course, because I need to make money, just like everyone else. But then you have to pivot. If I have to work to make a living, but my living is giving me more curiosity to explore things outside of work, it's introducing me to new formats of content and new ways to consume that content based on an algorithm that I can help control so that I'm being fed what I am hungry to learn more of, might actually be a decent way to combine the two. Because at the end of the day, all that most of us want is to feel like we're leading a life of authenticity that we are proud of, that we do not feel shame from, and that we feel is connected to ourselves, to each other, etc. And that's why I think lately I've become obsessed with this idea of the identity economy, because I don't think that it's just for creators, but it's for corporate professionals too. Because if AI can automate our expertise relatively quickly, then what's left for us? And what's left for us will be how we make people feel. The way that we connect, the way that we create meaning throughout the day today. This is why we're going back to blogging. This is exactly what we were trying to do on MySpace and Facebook. That's exactly why Substack is so popular for young women and older women right now. I'm finding that I am more excited to open the Substack app because the algorithm that it feeds me is so closely aligned to the sort of content that I want to build, create, and consume that I use it as a consistent source of inspiration. In fact, I open that app almost every single day, multiple times a day, simply to get inspired, because I know that there will be a piece of content that I see on there in the form of a note, an article, etc., that is exactly what I needed to hear. And that is something that I have been able to build a little bit of trust in myself. Okay, I know when I'm coming here, I have an intention behind it. I'm trusting that when I go and intentionally open this app and begin spending time reading other people's content, it's because I want to better myself. These people are doing things that I am so proud of them for being able to do. And the writing is beautiful and incredible and captivating. And the way that they are able to almost write like they are pulling the thoughts out of my own head is insane. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's because stories and people's ability to connect, that is what people want right now. Truly. And framing everything from the perspective of like corporate America, maybe this new success metric that we have isn't just going to be about influencer performance, but it's going to be about integration and being able to match what truly feels personal and perfect for you with how you show up in the world, whether that be in corporate America or whether that be pursuing your own venture, etc. And I have had a pretty overwhelming last 6 months or so where I have felt completely out of alignment at work. I have not felt like I have a strong purpose there. I have not felt like my own expertise and the whimsy that I try to bring into corporate America has been recognized, nor have my talents necessarily been put to good use, and that I have consistently tried to give, create, take so much of the negative feedback and say that I'll incorporate it and do my best to incorporate it while still being motivated. And I was burning out because I was coming from a place where every single conversation I had with certain people at work would center around the fact that I was just simply not doing enough. Nothing was ever good enough. And as a mom, that's a narrative that you are consistently telling yourself, no matter what you're doing or no matter how well you're doing it. And of course, we think about it at times with our friendships or our marriage where we just feel like, oh, I really would love to go and meet so-and-so for dinner or for lunch, but I'm so tired. If there's one thing that I can give up, that's probably it. Even though if you actually win, it would fill your cup in such a way you didn't even know and you'd be so happy you went. But it's just the way that we prioritize things has to truly come from a place of longing and a place of connect.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Versus this overwhelming sense of, but I am so tired. And I think we have to obviously listen to that. But being able to push yourself to do something that you don't want to do at the time because you know you'll be happier for yourself if you do is someone who has a very strong sense of discipline. And that's been one of my words of the year. I have really been trying to be more disciplined across all areas and facets of my life. And with that comes a little bit of confusion and frustration and shame at times because I tell myself I'd like to clean the whole house every night and spend 30 minutes doing this or 30 minutes doing that. And I don't always have time to do that. But that is ultimately the goal. And getting back to this idea of the identity economy coming for corporate America, what I'm really saying is that in the current climate that we're in, finding yourself is going to be your biggest accomplishment. Because especially in corporate America, you'll be rewarded for performance. You'll be rewarded for expertise. You will not be rewarded for authenticity. Most of the time at large organizations, people are rewarded for following in line and for doing what they're told and for not veering too far out left unless it's something that can drive the business revenue out of control. And if you had to think about if you were meant to build a deck about what makes you special and what makes you authentic and who your identity is in the current identity economy that we find ourselves in, we label everything. Everything needs a label. And everything is so new. There are so many new things, which is why we all feel like we need to label them. But we're going through this shift where we were so deeply overwhelmed with information. Like if you think about 2020 was like the information economy where we needed information about everything because we had no idea about a thing. Where did COVID come from? Did it come from bats? Like all of the, can you imagine going back in time to 2020? I cannot. I would not. Like that was an insane time. We felt like we had no information on anything. We did not know what the heck was happening. Some people were stuck abroad because this went from potentially becoming a big deal to becoming the entire world is ultimately shutting down and we are sheltering in place. You could feel the stillness. You could feel the staleness. You could feel the energy just pause in 2020. And now it's back in full force and moving again. But thinking about that time, it felt suffocating to a degree. At least to me, it did. I had a very difficult time staying stuck inside. And one of the things that I feel like corporate America has done for me is it's gotten me out of my own shell. Because I'm a 6'2 in human design, I'm a talented role model, but part of my design is the leader perspective, the guide perspective, and the other side is someone, and that leader is one who appreciates the recognition, truly feels into showing up for others in service of others. And then there's that other side that's the hermit, that's a little bit of avoidant. Maybe they have avoidant personality disorder because they do not want to put themselves out there for fear of being seen, even though they know that they have so much to do to serve others. And I love this idea of shifting from expertise to embodiment, because for so long, we've just been focused on knowing things. You know, when you're in a conversation with someone and they just seem to know everything, they've done their research and there is nothing you can say because they will have a stat or a data point or whatever for that. I feel for those people because I think that people that are obsessively know-it-alls in every single situation, those are the people that are truly lacking from feeling like they're confident in most things. They are likely compare in many situations, themselves, their marriage, their children, their friendships, etc. And they really hold on to this idea of researching things and truly trying to do their best to genuinely understand most things or all things, or they hear something and they hold on to it as a nugget and a piece of information that they want to be able to regurgitate to someone else when it comes up in conversation. It's all coming from a place of lack. And I feel for those people, and you can identify, or I can, emotionally who those people are. And the world is truly changing so fast right now. It's almost like no matter what you do, you feel like you can't keep up. And I personally use AI every single day. It has actually made me more creative. I love being able to think of new ways to prompt the different tools that I use to get outcomes that are more helpful for me in my day job. It also just helps me do things. Let's say I made a list of something and I said, oh, can you go back and put a hyperlink at every single person's name that we're going to be targeting for this campaign? That just saved me 25 to 30 minutes of my own time and 25 to 30 minutes of my agency's time that I would have been having to bill them for. So now, so much of what I talk about in work is this idea that context is the real currency. But I actually think that we're moving from this period of information economy to the identity economy, because the next phase of people and leaders, like I said, will be the ones that know themselves the best. They will be the ones that you can tell, maybe operate by the beat of their own drum, but for the betterment of others and for the betterment of sharing. And they will be the ones who truly move through life with intention. They will be the ones who show up with discipline. They will be the ones who set boundaries, and they set them clearly. They will be the ones that you can come to, and they will be the ones that generally want to see other people succeed. They'll share their tips. They'll share their tricks because they know that being in service of others is going to only help elevate them to a different vibrational frequency, to a new state, to a new mindset, etc. And that's exciting, I think. Imagine knowing yourself well enough to know that however you show up in any situation, you can handle it with grace, empathy, calm, intelligence, etc. That is pretty incredible. So if we think about what does this mean? What do I do from here? I have a corporate job, but I also have just this whimsy where I want to be able to explore more of what our purpose is, what this world wants us to uncover, what it means to truly find yourself and be able to live a life full of purpose, where you intentionally do things that light you up because you are in love with the life that you lead, because you make decisions that are coming from a place of alignment, that are coming from a place of being grounded, that are coming from a place of you being 100% in tune with how you want to feel. And you are making intentional decisions that you know will help influence how you feel down the line. And the more that you do that, the more you will trust that process. Because let me tell you, the entire point of what I was trying to get to when I was talking about the fact that the last 6 months have been overwhelming was that I felt like there was almost no way out, that I would have to quit or I would have to find something else to do because of the feelings of overwhelm that I felt. And for a number of other reasons. But since that time and today alone, I spoke so many things into existence that I wanted to happen that I didn't know that I could even speak into existence. And guess what? Most of those things happened. Maybe not exactly the way that I saw them going, but most of them happened. And today I had to just take a moment and pause and truly thank the universe for reminding me again that it does have my back. And that when I come from a state of grounded calm and not internal chaos, and I continuously try to just believe that the best that is meant for me will come to me and I will be ready for it. One of my favorite sayings is always be ready. And if someone asks, like, what's your tagline? That would be my tagline. Always be ready. Because guess what? When an opportunity arises, I always think about it this way. Like, if I were to be asked to be on Sports Illustrated Swim tomorrow, I know that has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but that's the frame of reference that I'm coming to with this. If I were to be asked tomorrow, I better be ready, or ready enough that, like, I can make it work. We could angle it, like, pretty just right. And, you know, we'll hide the things we want to hide and we'll make it work. That's where I'm coming from with this. And one thing that's been incredibly difficult for me to do is sort of redefine what productivity means for me, especially because being a projector, I do feel like I can operate as a generator quite well. But by the end of the night, I am so tired and burnt out. But then I keep myself up because I'm just spinning full of ideas because I haven't given myself any time to rest or decompress or just be alone with my thoughts. And so it takes me a long time to unwind and truly get to a place where I feel like I'm at a state of calm where I can actually go to bed and feel comfortable. I can feel okay shutting my eyes and not from a place of anticipating what's coming tomorrow. So all of this to say, we're entering this new era. And who we are and how we operate through this next phase of life is going to be really important. And I saw this note on Substack today that said something along the lines of, your pace of growth is reflective of what your nervous system can handle. And I thought that was literally groundbreaking because I think my nervous system is pretty tuned in and can handle a lot of frequency and a lot of change. Even if I am overwhelmed by it, I can handle it and I can make it work because in the chaos, I will find a way to move forward and to take ownership of the narrative so that I feel more in control, at least. And I totally lost my train of thought. But being able to see that about myself and know those things about myself has enabled me to start shifting the way that I view things in a way that's made me realize one of two things. Two things can be true at once. And sometimes I have difficulty with that because I just want clarity. I don't want there to be ambiguity. I don't want there to be uncertainty. And I find that in both my personal life and my professional life. I want things to be clear. I want someone to answer for me in certain situations. And in others, I know exactly what I want and I will tell you as much. And as you think about your worth, you have to know that your worth is equivalent to how you embody true alignment. Because you won't question your worth if you feel in alignment. And back to more things than one being true. I can love being a corporate gal. I can love getting out of the house and going to an office and feeling like I'm dressing up, getting out of the house, forcing myself to do things that are sometimes uncomfortable or painful, like engaging in office chatter in the kitchen, those sorts of things that sometimes just feel ridiculous, but also make me really happy. I love that connection. But I also deeply want to disappear from corporate. I also want to focus on building a life that feels clear and purposeful. Sometimes when I'm home with my kids, my energy is just buzzing because I'm just like, this is what my life is about. This is what I want. This is what brings me happiness and peace. But I also love the feeling of feeling important. And in corporate jobs, you get chances to get feedback. You get chances to rewrite the way that you show up to a meeting. You get to be curious and learn new things. You get to explore a different side of yourself, and one that hopefully will bridge over into how you show up in other facets of your life. But I'm truly debating if corporate world is a place that makes sense for me anymore. It does not feel in alignment with me at this season of life. And it's difficult once I finally feel like I've become relatively successful, that's when that nudge starts to enter my head and to enter my conscious. And I don't know where it's pulling from, but I know that it's purposeful. Because in this season in particular, I've built a decent amount of trust with my inner knowing. And I know that these nudges are coming from somewhere that is meant to serve me or serve others at a later date. And all of those sorts of feelings have become more clear to me because, one, I've begun to pay attention to them, and two, because most of the things that I deeply acknowledge within myself would make my life easier, better, make my role more exciting. Most of the time, the universe will move heaven and earth, literally, to make those things happen. Just like I said, over the past 6 months, all of these things have changed. Most of that shift, I feel, has been in favor of what is most in alignment with what I need in this next season. And that is incredible to be able to say that in partnership with the universe and my mindset and embodying the true nature of who I am, I was able to reconstruct my own reality in such a way that what I said 6 months ago would be hugely impactful on my future self has come true. Maybe not in the ways that I envisioned, but chess pieces have moved so that I can step into this next phase. And that is incredible. And being able to teach people how to do that, how do you become so in tune with your own self and identity and embodiment that you can go through life with the mindset to construct your reality? And that's all based on storytelling, what I do every day in my corporate world. That is all based on knowing who to reach and where. That is exactly what I do every single day, is figuring out who to target with what story. And all of these things I'm realizing are working in favor of whatever I want to do and wherever I want to do it. At the end of the day, the thing that gives me the expertise is my unique lens. There are hundreds and thousands of us that work in corporate America and specifically work in public relations. That doesn't make all of us special, unique, or different. But guess what? Not all of them have a degree in industrial organizational psychology like me, with the focus on corporate leadership, So focusing on leadership in the workplace, what drives other people, what makes them be good leaders, what makes people be bad leaders, what makes people view or skew on that one way or another. What does leadership even mean? What does leadership even look like? Other PR professionals absolutely do not think about how they could incorporate human design knowledge and awareness across their teams, cross-functionally, in fact, to help allow everyone to feel more aligned in their work and to potentially move roles around based on what feels authentic to each individual, in addition to where their skill sets lie. I do. Not all of them have two spouses working in tech. Many of them do. But you get my point. The lens of which you are building your identity foundation in this current economy are going to be your currency. So if there's one thing that you need to do for yourself today, it's going to be starting a checklist. Who are you? Who do you want to be? How do you want to respond to certain situations? What does authentic look like to you? What are you passionate about? How do you respond to high stress? How do you serve others in your job? How do you serve others outside of your job? Those are all questions that you can begin asking yourself. I hope this episode was compelling, gave you something to think about, and made you consider pressing that like or subscribe button. We'll see you next week on Kylie Says.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.